believing that God wants to do something great, spectacular in this service. I really feel like the Lord has put this message on my heart. I hope that I can deliver the way that He has put it into my heart and my mind. And I know that if I am to do that and speak on His behalf today, I'm going to need the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And I trust that You will pray with us, work with us, and help us. And let's believe God. If you only knew, sometimes I think we come together so absorbed in our problems and our issues and our cares that we sometimes don't have a clue. Sometimes some of us are privy to information that maybe we're under more of a load because we have a greater understanding just because we know things. But I just wonder what it would be like in a service if everyone that is baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost, would be spiritually led and get an understanding of what the needs and the problems and the issues might be for those that are sitting beside you on your pew or across the church from you. I just wonder if it would make a difference. And I have a feeling that it would. So let's be in prayer. And it's always a spiritual struggle and a spiritual battle, especially when we step into the pulpit, because the enemy and the powers of darkness and hell war against us. So the battle is so engaging at this point that it just is a blessing to have the whole church engaged in that battle as well. Praise God. Matthew chapter 2, verse number 1. I'm going to read two verses there, and then you can shake hands and be friendly with those that are around you and greet them and let them know you're glad that they are in the house of the Lord, especially if it's a visitor. Let's read these two verses. Let's read it together. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Again, greet someone next to you. Let them know you're glad they're here. You can be seated in the house of the Lord here today. Praise God. Those friendly sounds are comforting. Encouraging to the saints. Hallelujah. We're so blessed. Praise God. The wise men were saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. King, king, we're looking for a king. I know we could go into the other verses around this. Herod was troubled and caused quite a stir in the city. And we speak about this passage oft times around the Christmas season. But I needed to draw from that second verse. Where is he that is born king of the Jews? In 2 Samuel chapter number 14 and verse 23, I want to read that to you. So Joab arose and went to Geshur and brought Absalom to Jerusalem. And the king said, let him turn to his own house and let him not see my face. So Absalom returned to his own house and saw not the king's face. Verse number 28. So Absalom dwelt 2 full years in Jerusalem and saw not the king's face. And Absalom answered Joab, behold, I sent unto thee, saying, come hither, that I may send thee to the king to say, wherefore am I come to Geshur? It had been good for me to have been there still. Now, therefore, let me see the king's face. And if there be any iniquity in me, let him kill me. So Joab came to the king and told him. And when he had called for Absalom, he came to the king and bowed himself on his face to the ground before the king. And the king kissed Absalom. My title today is simply this: take me to the king. Take me to the king. Here in Matthew, we find wise men searching for the king, as wise men still do today. If you are a wise man, you are searching for the king. You're looking for him. You're wanting to go after him. In 2 Samuel, we find a young man who has been banished by the king because of a strained relationship. Brother James done a wonderful job teaching today about relationships and conflict resolution. And I wish everybody wanted to come to Sunday school. I wish you wanted to be here, because there's so many good things in a Sunday school class setting that you can glean from. But some don't feel that that's necessary. But it'd just be so good for your relationship with God. Amen. Absalom is banished because of a strained relationship. And he is desiring, even though it's for the wrong intention in Absalom's case, but he is desiring to be restored. He wants to come back. He wants to be back in that place where he has been banished from. And there's a lot in this story that I don't have time, that is not relative to my message today, but there had been a murder inside the family. I mean, you think you have family problems? David had family problems. Real, what was it Brother James said a while ago? Issues. And then he said, have everybody say issues. I mean, they had issues in this family. It was a very dysfunctional family. That's another term that's very relative to our generation. But this family was indeed a dysfunctional family, and a strained relationship, because Absalom, things that he felt like in his particular part of David's family, because there were multiple wives and a lot of half brothers and sisters, and he felt that his sister, his full sister, had been betrayed and molested, and she was, by their own half brother. And Absalom takes things into his own hands, and he rises up and slays the one that has mistreated his full blood sister. And so there's a reason for this relationship to be strained. But whatever your situation is, wherever you find yourself, in whatever situation you find yourself in today, the cry of our heart, every one of us should all be the same. Take me to the King. Hallelujah. Take me to the King. Maybe all of us should take an account and attempt to recollect, just how long has it been? What if we would think about that for a moment? Just how long has it been since we have seen the king's face? Here Absalom had been gone and banished in exile for a number of years, and he's brought back. He is in at least the vicinity of the king, but yet there is 2 full years that he lives in Jerusalem, and he does not see the king's face. No matter how well things seem to be going in your life today without the king, let me tell you one thing right here for sure. There most certainly will be a time in your life when you will need to be with the King. Take me to the King. I need to be in the presence of the King. There will be a time that the most important thing, the most urgent thing in your life will need to be in the presence of the King. Hallelujah. For example, there is a widow whose son that Elisha restored. You'll remember this story in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse number 11. I'll read about 3 verses here. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call the Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. Amen. Here's an opportunity. You'll remember this story. This is the family, the man and his wife, that had built a room on the side of their house for the prophet, for Elisha, to come by. Whenever he was traveling on his journeys, he could come and find comfort and rest in this home of this Shunammite woman. It just so happened they didn't have any children. And Elisha and Gehazi were somewhat concerned as to how they would attend to her needs and try to, in some simple gesture, repay her for what she had done and her kindness toward them. And because of Elisha, especially Elijah and Elisha's ministry and their relationship, took them into political power. It caused them oftentimes to stand before kings. Amen. Elijah stood before Ahab. Here Elisha now has that same opportunity to stand before kings. They know each other. They are their personal spiritual advisors, if you will. Amen. They have a relationship with the king. And so Elisha says to her, I'd like to do something for you, lady. Would you like me to speak to the king on your behalf? Amen. I know him. I know who he is. He knows me. And I'd be happy to just tell the king about you. Amen. But in her humility, she says, I dwell among my own people. I'm sure her feeling was, the king doesn't have anything that I need. We're hardworking people. We know from reading the fourth chapter, they had their own farm. They were in business. They were doing things. We have our own family. We're content with what we have. Amen. But little did she know there would come a day in her life that she would indeed cry to the king. Amen. And need someone to speak on her behalf. It's only a few short years later. Amen. There came 7 years of famine. Elisha knew the famine was coming. Matter of fact, he told her, tell this woman in our words, you need to go ahead and get out of town and go somewhere else because there's a famine coming. And it's going to last for 7 years. I wish the Holy Ghost would help me encourage somebody today. Amen. And let you know things may be floating along just fine in your life. But as sure as you're sitting where you are, and as sure as I'm standing where I am, there will be a time in your life that you will want to have an audience with the king. Can I get a witness from somebody in the house? Amen. It always happens. It comes around. Something will happen in your life that you will need to be in the presence of the king. Amen. During that famine, she lost all of her material possessions. They lost their farm. They lost their land. They lost those 7 years of crops that they depended on for their livelihood. Amen. In 2 Kings chapter 8 and verse number 3, and it came to pass at the 7 years end that the woman returned out of the land of the Philistines, and she went forth to cry unto the king for her house and for her land. Amen. Do you see my point? It seemed like at one time, amen, when the man of God says, would you like me to speak to the king? She said, no, no, no. I'm fine. I got a farm. I got a family. I got a business. Everything's going good. I'm doing just fine. But now after 7 years of a trial and losing everything, of their treasure and their time and everything they had worked for to accumulate and accomplish, amen, and now she's returning impoverished, and now she says, Elisha, why don't you go ahead and cry to the king? Amen. Help me, Jesus, to preach here today. I believe I'm speaking to people in this service. Maybe there have been times in your life you've done fine, but I have a feeling there are some of you sitting here this morning that needs to be in the presence of the king. Amen. And your heart should start crying out, take me to the king. Take me where he is. If you have a relationship with him, if you know him on a personal level, would you mind to talk to him for me and see if you can get me in his presence? Amen. That's exactly what Elisha did. He walked into where the king was, and the king said, tell me about Elisha. Amen. And he just started telling the things about Elisha. Isn't it amazing the way God works when he wants to help you? Elisha, you know what Elisha starts? He's doing it on purpose. It's all calculated. He starts telling the king about raising that little boy from the
dead. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And the king is being pulled in and engulfed in the story. Amen. Elisha went in, laid his staff on him. Elisha went and put his hands on his hands and his mouth on his mouth. Amen. And he warmed up, child up, and his spirit come back to life. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And about the time the king is pulled in to the story of Elisha, amen, somebody knocks on the door, amen, and Elisha says, well, king, look here. Here's the woman right here. I was just telling you about her. This is her, and it was her son that I just got through telling you about that Elisha raised from the dead. Amen. And you know what happened? Because of that story and that testimony and that witness, the king that owned everything, that had all the power, said, your land will be restored. I'm sending officers with you, and everything you've lost, not only your land, not only your farm, but all the fruits of that ground that it would have produced in 7 years, I'm restoring all of that to you. Amen. Come on, church, here this morning. How many's lost some stuff that you'd like to have back? How many's lost some stuff that you know the king has control of? And at any time, in any moment, he can say, I'm going to restore that to you. Amen. Let me tell you something. You're probably never going to be restored until you come to that place of the cry from deep within your heart, take me to the king. I've got to get in the presence of the king. Take me, show me, introduce me. If you have a relationship with him and you can use it on my behalf, let it be so. I need to be in the presence of the king. Hallelujah. Hey, amen. I got to hurry. I got a long ways to go, but would you work with me just for a little bit? Right here, I'm going to slightly digress, because before I press on in my sermon, I want to tell you a little bit about the king. Oh, come on here. Would you like to know a little more about him? There's some people that are so gifted with words. I've shared this before a number of times in my ministry, but it comes so strong on me again yesterday that I wanted to share it with you. This is a sermon that was preached back in the 50s by the black preacher from California named S.M. Lockridge. Amen. S.M. Shadrach Meshach Lockridge. Amen. My, what a man of words. And he gave this oration in this sermon. I want to share it with you. I can't see the back, so I hope you got it up here. Amen. That's my king. The Bible says my king is a seven-way king. Amen. Why don't y'all just worship with me a little while here this morning? He's a seven-way king. He's the king of the Jews. That's a racial king. He's the king of Israel. That's a national king. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings and the Lord of lords. Ah, that's my king. Well, I wonder, do you know him? He says. David said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of his shoreless supplies. No barriers can hinder him from pouring out his blessings. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Ah, do you know him here today? Amen. He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He stands in the solitude of himself. He's august and he's unique. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest person personality and philosophy. He's the supreme problem in higher criticism. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the cardinal necessity for spiritual religion. He's the miracle of the age. He is the superlative of everything good that you choose to call Him. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient Savior. Amen. I'll stop for a minute if y'all want to get excited about this. I'm telling you about the King. This is the King I know. This is the King I want you to know. If you don't know Him, this is the one I want you to have a relationship with. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and tried. He sympathizes and He saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and He guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the leper. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And He beautifies the meager. Somebody in the house of God ought to lift up the name of Jesus. He is our King. He is your King. Amen. He wants to be the King of the world. Amen. I wonder, do you know Him? Well, my King is a key. He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Do you know Him? Well, His office is manifold. His promise is sure. His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And His yoke is easy. And His burden is light. I wish I could describe Him to you today. But He's indescribable. Yes, He is. Good God, He's indescribable. Amen. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get Him out of your mind. And you can't get Him off of your hand. You can't outlive Him and you can't live without Him. Well, the Pharisees tried. The Pharisees couldn't stand Him. Amen. But they found out they couldn't stop Him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in Him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimonies to agree. Herod couldn't kill Him. Death couldn't handle Him. And the grave couldn't hold Him. And praise God, He is my King. Amen. I wish the church right now would stand up and take about 30 seconds. We got time in this message to do it. I got some more preaching to do and I'm going to. But I tell you what we need to do right now. We need to honor our King. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Are we in His house this morning? Are we in His presence? Do you know Him? Would you worship Him? Would you just love Him for a few minutes? Thank God for that day. Thank God for that time. Thank God for that place when you didn't have any place else to go and nobody else had any answers, but you had an audience with the King and you got into His room and you got into His presence and you realized in His presence was fullness of joy and everything you needed was provided in His presence. Oh, somebody give Him praise. Come on. We're holiness people. We're Pentecostal people. Amen. Let's lift up the name of Jesus. He's worthy. He's worthy. Amen. There may be somebody listening or watching right now. Amen. That God's dealing with their heart. It may be God's moving on somebody in this house. Amen. To really believe what the preacher's saying. I can get in the presence of the King. Amen. In His presence is healing. In His presence is salvation. In His presence is restoration. In His presence, His word carries weight and He can do anything. Hallelujah. You know Him, I wish you'd lift Him up. Amen. If he's ever moved on your behalf, I wish right now you'd just say, thank you, King. Amen. I fall at your presence. I bow at your feet. I stand before your throne. Amen. Needing a touch from God. And you're the one that has it. And you can meet my needs according to your riches and glory. Oh, thank you, Jesus, one more time. Holy, 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 holy. Amen. You're King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You're the mighty God. You're the everlasting Father. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Thank you, Jesus. I just wanted to remind you of some of the attributes of our King. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord here. Thank you for worshiping. Do you understand how the atmosphere changes? You see why I ask you to do that during a message? It just changes when we really get our minds on Him. Oh, hallelujah. Mountains can come down when people worship. Folks get healed when the saints are in worship. Amen. The sinners are drawn when folks are worshiping Him. Praise God. I just wanted to remind you of some of the greatness of our King. Amen. Pray the Holy Ghost will take us where we need to go today. Take me to the King. Take me to the King. I need to be in the presence of the King. I need to know that He understands exactly where I'm coming from. Amen. Can I relate a story to you today? If we would go back in history, about 2,500 years ago, an earthly monarch ruled a vast region, 127 provinces. Can you get that up for me, Sean? 127 provinces. Literally that span of country span from the nation of Ethiopia all the way to India. And you can see where Israel is right there in the Mediterranean Sea. The Asia Minor there right above that. The reason those conquerors wanted to conquer that so much, and the reason that was such a prime piece of real estate. And I know a lot of you know this. Those were the routes. Those were the land routes from Europe all the way down to North Africa, where you have Egypt and Libya and all those other countries. And this man, after the separation, you remember when Daniel that night had told what was going to happen. The kingdom was going to be divided between the Medes and the Persians. And these now are the Persians. This is the Persian Empire. Takes him present day all the way to India. Takes him present day Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran, on through to the nation of Israel, and then on up in Asia Minor, and then all the way continuing down into North Africa. That's a lot of land to be controlled. You hear me? Without a cell phone, without computers, without any way to communicate. I just wanted to show you that, to show you how vast this land was. Without a doubt, this is the most powerful man that is alive in the known world. This is a powerful king. Let me tell you a little bit about him. He decided to go on a drinking binge. It wasn't just a week or a weekend. He called all of these presidents in from all 127 provinces, and they started a party. Are y'all hearing me preach? That went 180 days, 6 months of binge drinking and partying and corralling. You know why they were doing that? That was actually a display of how strong we are. This is a display of how powerful we are. We don't have to worry about our enemies. We don't have to worry about anybody overtaking us. We can all come together, the leaders of all these states, and spend 6 months having nothing but a drunken party. Amen. Oh, Holy Ghost, help me preach here. Amen. At the end of that 6 months, that wasn't good enough. Before everybody went back home, he added one more week, 7 more days onto this drinking, drunken party. Amen. Oh, yes. And during these 7 days, on this last day that this big party would have been over, this most powerful king in the world asked for his queen, her name was Vashti, to come in and actually display her. herself and her beauty. Somebody needs to hear me preaching here. Amen. Probably, no doubt, it was a pornographic moment for all of those that were in a drunken stupor. Can you imagine the lowness and the baseness of all of these men that had been in a 6 month long party with all of this alcohol? Amen. It's a horrible thing to try to describe, and I'm trying to get that across to you. Amen. And this woman, this queen, said, there is no way that I'm going in to walk in front of all of those men to show myself. I'm not going to do it. She had and displayed some moral character. Come on now. Amen. Somebody needs to pray for me. Amen. Because I'm kind of feeling some things going on here. Amen. Oh yes, the children of God, and you've heard this said many times, if it's not for sale, then don't display it. Come on now. Amen. She had some moral character. I am not going to do it. I'm not going to let those men think this way about me. I'm a woman of character, and she didn't do it. Praise God, she didn't. Amen. I know this is strange, and I may not be able to cross every T and dot every I, but that queen was banished. She was no longer in her position in the kingdom. Help me preach, Holy Ghost. Amen. Oh yes. And for about 3 years, there was no one to take her place. No one had filled that spot. But 3 years later, amen, Brother James again, amen, conflict resolution. When he cooled down, amen, he banished this queen in his wrath. He banished her in his anger, amen. But now he's out of that drunken stupor. 3 years have gone by, and somebody said, we need to appoint another queen to take the place of Vashti. Are y'all still here? Amen. I don't want to get too wrapped up in the details here. So actually, in our terms, they had a nationwide, again, I've already showed you how vast this land is. They have a nationwide beauty pageant. Come on now. Oh yes. And they looked all over that vast land, all across that country. Amen. They were trying to find the most beautiful young lady that they could find to take the place. Now I know you have to understand, this is all in the providence of God. Amen. Now, as divine providence would call a young Jewish orphan girl. Amen. Somebody say, Lord, help the preacher. Was selected to fill the place of the banished. Amen. I don't have time to go into it. Oh, how this selection went. But after 3 years, they found the one. Amen. After a whole year of these young ladies being put in places, 6 months of oils and 6 months of wonderful smelling odors. And these people, if you read and study this, for a whole year, their body was just submerged in these fragrances until these oils and odors would get into their skin. It would seep into their pores. And all of this is in preparation for this young lady to go before the king. Amen. Now the time has come. I see a quality and a character in this verse following. Esther chapter 2 and verse number 15. And when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go in unto the king, she required nothing, hear me, she required nothing, but he gave the king's chamberlain, the keeper of women, appointed, and Esther obtained favor in the sight of all of them that looked upon her. Amen. Oh yes, if you would back up to verse 13, you will see she had been promised whatever she desired. Amen. The selection, the final selection hasn't been made. Amen. But there's a number of these young ladies that are actually going to go before the king, and the king will decide which one is going to take the place. All of them have been separated. All of them have been in the these wonderful places with all these beautiful smells. But when it come time for them to pass in front of the king, if they wanted more shoes, they got it. Come on, I got a couple people sleeping on me. Y'all, do I need to change my voice here? Amen. Somebody say hallelujah. Amen. Come on here, church. I need you right now. Remember, God's trying to deal with somebody in this house. Amen. They're passing by in front of that king. But this time, on this final day, the chamberlain says, if you want bigger hair, we'll bring somebody in to do your hair. If you want a number of changes of clothes, you got as many as you want. If you want all of these different pairs of shoes, come on, I ought to get the women excited anyway. Man, Macy's would love to see somebody coming like that. You can go to the shoe department and get every pair if you want them. You can pick out whatever you want. It doesn't matter what it costs. If you want more perfume, if you want more makeup, if you want more jewelry, whatever you want, you can have. I'm making a point here. But Esther said, I'm not asking for anything else. I'm not asking for another thing. She went in before the king with only what the chamberlain had supplied to her. Amen. Somebody needs to help me preach in here. I want to preach to our young ladies right now. Do not let the world and Hollywood define beauty. They do not know what it is, and their definition is incorrect, and they're going to send a wrong message to you. Amen. God's already promised our King of Kings to beautify the meek with salvation. And if you'll take a lesson from the character of Esther, I don't need anything else. I'll put on what you tell me I have to, but I'm not asking for anything else. If God don't raise me up, if God don't put me in the right place, I don't want it anyway. When you start letting the world define beauty and you start doing what they say you have to do to be beautiful, more than likely it's going to put you in attraction with somebody that you don't need. And I've seen it happen no telling how many times. Esther understood that. I'm a Jewish girl. I'm an orphan girl. And I'd be in bad trouble already if it wasn't for Mordecai, when my father died, that took me under his wing and provided for me. Amen. Whatever beauty that God has given you, young ladies, you really can improve on what God's already given you. Hear the pastor this morning. Hear the heartbeat. The world's going to tell you got to do this and you got to do that and you got to wear this and you got to buy this. And you know what? Isn't it odd that it's always changing? Do you know why it's always changing in 6 months or a year? Because they want you to put all that stuff in the back of your closet and go buy new stuff. These things have a way of carrying over in the church. I don't know why y'all have got so quiet. You know I'm not going to hurt you. He will beautify the meek with salvation. And then when your character is good, woo, it will shine through you with such a radiant beauty that other young man or that young lady, that they too have a heart for God and they're chasing after God and they're looking for God. Amen. That's going to attract the right one to you. If you try to do it the other way, it's going to attract the wrong thing to you. In a few years, you're going to be given prayer requests. Amen. Esther, not understanding, Probably not having a great spiritual insight, doesn't understand what God is doing in her life. Amen. We got young people, young ladies, young men, they're going to college. They're going to be in secular universities. Some of them are in Christian universities. How many remember what I preached to you a few weeks ago has happened to a lot of Christian universities? Is my church praying for me this morning? Are you? And they are going to tell you things that we haven't taught you. We'll be all right, and you can do it, and you can partake of, and you can. And we have the Holy Ghost, and we speak in tongues, and we. I know. Amen. But God has called you. Woo. As Esther understood, for such a time. Ooh, holy, 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 holy. Oh, I love it when the Holy Ghost starts challenging our hearts. Amen. She could have had anything she wanted, but she said nothing more. Esther required nothing more than what the king's chamberlain appointed. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. What you need is the beauty that God puts on the inside to shine on the outside. To attract those others that are seeking the same thing you are. To be attracted to you. Now after Esther is selected, she is instructed. I got to change here. Are y'all still with me? I don't know how long I've been preaching. I forgot. Probably dangerous right now. Now after Esther is selected, she is instructed as to the business of the court. Now she starts learning some things. The king has selected her. The king has promoted her. She now wears the crown of Vashti. She now fills that position. She has her own staff. She has her own house. She has, if she wants to have political ambitions, she can do that as well. She has all. But there is one law of the Medes, the Persians. Because you've enjoyed the embrace of the king and he selected you, don't you get lifted up in pride, little girl, and think you can show up in my court any day of the week because I don't have time for your drama. I don't have time for your silly stuff. I don't have time to, you know, I got a vast, it's gone, but we saw it a while ago, a vast domain to rule. You don't show up. If I want you, I'll call you. You don't ever come calling me. And if you do, if you show up, I love you and we've had a good time and you're my queen now. We ain't got time for playing. I got business to do. If you show up and I didn't invite you, there's one law. And I've already proved. Remember, you're filling a spot right now of someone that's already been banished. And you'll be gone just like she was. I got work to do. Amen. I hope I'm pulling you in here. Remember, take me to the king. One day that wicked man in that kingdom, like so many tried to do before. Come on, Holy Ghost, help me. I realize I need to pull you back in here. Come on now, come on back. Like so many others had tried to annihilate the Jews, he goes before the king. He's been promoted and he says there's a nation here, a group of people here. They don't serve your God. They don't go by your laws. And they are extremely blessed. They are wealthy. And we're in a little financial crunch. Let's set this on the 12th month. Adar. The 13th day. And we're going to let it be open season on the Jews. Everybody that lives around them, their farmer neighbor down the road, can go and slay them and take their life and take their property. Their house, their farm, everything that belongs to them on this day. A post rode through all out the land, all this vast province. Can y'all get that back up for me? This vast province. Posts are going all over the country. Carrying this every place, every city it's read. On the 13th day of the 12th month, everybody that knows a Jew, you can go kill him and take his property. And the government's behind you. You can do it. We're going to take that money into the treasury. We're going to pay the bills. Amen. So Mordecai, realizing what's at work, he goes to prayer. He begins to fast and pray. Oh man, there's so much preaching here and I need to preach. I'm needing to help folks. I know there's people here today. You're hungry. You're needing to touch. You're needing healing. You're needing a word. You're just needing so much in your life. Amen. So, here they are. Mordecai sends word to Esther. She had not yet revealed her nationality. Come on. Please help me, Holy Ghost. My congregation is trying to scatter a little bit right here. Help me, Jesus. Amen. He said, don't think because you're inside the king's palace that you'll be spared. Somebody will rout you out. Somebody will tell him who you are and you'll be killed. She sends back word and she says, I and my maidens will fast. You send a word out to as many of the folks you know and tell them to fast. I've checked the calendar and I haven't been called for the next 30 days and time is of the essence. We gotta do something now. How many have ever needed an audience with the king? And you didn't have a week to pray about it. You didn't have time to wait on the next revival to roll around. You didn't have time to call somebody and ask him to pray. All of a sudden you needed to have a relationship with the king and you needed to be in his presence. Take me to the king. Amen. So after 3 days of fasting and praying, she walks in her royal apparel down toward the king's court. Amen. I'd like for the Holy Ghost to help me set this because I know I can't do it if he don't help me. But you need to understand, at this point, it's not only waiting on her shoulders, her life. It is not only, Brother Bert Friend, the life of her immediate family. I want you to understand the intense pressure she is under. She is carrying the weight of the whole nation of Israel on her back. I see her step up to that court. The king don't have any idea what's going on and what his so-called assistant has done to him. He's carrying on business as usual. Amen. You know, I think probably Esther is making her approach softly, but yet with some confidence. Amen. Well, I wished I had time to preach about an hour right here. Godly humility is not always just laying down and letting everybody run over you. There is a holy confidence that is not spiritual pride. Somebody say amen. For too long, we've took that road. We couldn't hardly have any structure, any leadership in our churches at all because people's always preferring their brother. Nobody could start church. Nobody knew what to do. Nobody could do anything. Nobody dare even try to do anything. Amen. But you can have some holy confidence when you know who you are in Christ. Amen. Oh, would you lift your hands in this house if you feel like it this morning? Ask God to help the preacher. I'm talking to people right now that are in dire need of help from God. Hear me. Hear me. Oh, Jesus, work in this place. Amen. She knows the weight of her nation's hanging on her. I can almost see as she gets within eyeshot of this most powerful man in the world. And whatever court is going on, whatever's happening, whatever his mind is engaged in, somebody says, King Ahasuerus, Queen Esther is outside your court. And he's thinking, what in the world is she doing? I've told her nobody's to come unless check the calendar, scribe. There's something I've missed here. Is there? I haven't missed a date or a time here. No, there's nobody's schedule. And she's looking at him, no doubt, eyeball to eyeball. Amen. And she is wondering, what is he going to do? But it's at that moment the Spirit of God reaches over, amen, to where that king is. And all of a sudden he says, boys, court is dismissed for today. Abruptly, in the middle of what's going on, court is over. Amen. And his hand reaches over to that scepter and is lifted up in Esther's direction, and all of a sudden every prayer and every meal that's been fasted has all come to that one point, and it pivots on that one moment when the most powerful man in the world has extended the golden scepter. Holy Ghost, help me to preach. I'm preaching to people right now. You're in trouble. Your life is in trouble. You need healing in your family. You need healing in your marriage. Some of you may not even know how desperate your situation is. And I'm wondering right now, do you have enough spiritual understanding about you to realize everything is hinging on your shoulders? And unless you can get in the presence of the King, more than likely you're going to be destroyed. Amen. It's not if it's going to happen. The word is already out. The law has already been in place. And there's no changing it. You cannot change the law of the Medes and Persians. It's made. It is unrevocable. Amen. Only by God, only by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords can it be changed. Amen. I have a feeling if some of y'all I'm preaching to right now knew what kind of strain I was in and what kind of bind I'm in right now, and some things I know that you may not know, I think you'd pull in here and pray and ask God to let the Holy Ghost break the back of this thing and see if we can get some healing and some encouragement and lives changed before this meeting is over. Amen. Stay humble and stay in your place. 8 years. Now pressure is brought to bear on Esther. Whether you realize it or not, sir, ma'am, pressure is being brought to bear on you right now. The Holy Ghost has got you here. Pressure is brought to bear. Are you going to run from your responsibility? Or are you going to humble yourself down? Say, I need to go before the King. She's dressed in her royal apparel. I know I'm old school. I get that. I understand. But I still believe people ought to dress up to go to church. You're going to the King's house. I don't mean that it has to be a suit. I'm just saying, we didn't always have a lot growing up in a pastor's home living in a parsonage. But we had school jeans and church jeans and play jeans. And we didn't wear our play jeans on church night. Those were set apart. We had play shoes and we had school shoes and we had church shoes. Our church shoes, we had to be careful how we wore them. We didn't go running out across the parking lot scooting gravel. I mean, if mom and dad were watching, those are your church shoes. What are you saying, preacher? I'm just trying to do some simple teaching here today. I know boys will be boys. I know children, I understand all that. But train them and show them. Those are your church shoes. You know what you're doing? You're making them make a decision about church and how important church is. Ronald Reagan would not go into the Oval Office without a suit and tie. When the Clinton bunch moved in, they went in with Grateful Dead t-shirts on. See, there wasn't taught a respect for the position. Church should require your best. I really don't know why it's so quiet, but it is. Amen. I love that song. Take me to the King. I don't have much to bring. My heart is torn in pieces, but it's my offering. Take me, the King. I'm living in the same world y'all are in. My battles may be different than yours, and you may not understand why I fight mine the way I do, but I have to fight them the only way I know how, and God will give me spiritual wisdom. But I know you're going through your battles just like I'm going through my battles. And today, Brother Cleve, I see you standing back there. The cry of my heart is and has been for a few hours now is take me to the King. Truth is, I'm tired. Options are few. I'm trying to pray, Lord, but where are you? I'm churched out. I'm hurt. I'm abused. Can't fake what's left to do. Truth is, I'm weak. No strength to fight. No tears to cry. Am I identifying with anybody here this morning? Even if I'm tired, if I'm tried, but still my soul refuses to die. One touch will change my life. Take me to the King. Is that your cry this morning? Is that your cry? Take me. Take me to the King. I don't have much to bring. My heart's torn in pieces. It's my offering. Amen. Lay me at the throne. Leave me there alone to gaze upon your glory and sing to you this song. Please take me to the King. Amen. Come on, church. I'm asking you right now. Amen. In your mind, would you start moving that way right now? Amen. I'm about through preaching, I think. Amen. Are you moving in your mind? Is the Holy Ghost setting the place for you that you can realize where you are and have an understanding of what you need and say, I can't get what I need unless I can get in the presence of the King. Truth is, it's time to stop playing these games. We need a word for the people's pain. So Lord, speak right now. Let it fall like rain. We're desperate. We're chasing after you. Amen. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost, help me right now. Somebody, whoever's going to sing, get in position. I got a little bit more preaching to do. Can y'all stand just a little bit more? Amen. In St. John chapter 8, early one morning in the temple, in the quietness of the teaching session, it's broken. It's broken as a woman is set down in the midst, almost cast at Jesus' feet. Amen. Do you understand? I set it up in a teaching session in the temple, in the quietness of scholarly men sitting around. And all of a sudden, that quietness is broken as a woman is hurled and dragged into the presence of all those scholarly men and set down in the midst of them. And somebody said, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Amen. Amen. Moses said, stone her. Now what are you going to say about it? Amen. Can you imagine the embarrassment? Can you imagine the humility? Can you imagine how horrible she feels being brought into such a holy place and in such a quiet moment and so many scholarly men sitting around looking at her and wondering what in the world has happened. Amen. Come on, help me, church. I know I preached this wrong for a number of years. I preached and said they were all standing there with the stone in their hand and they're ready to execute her. But that's not so. It was nothing but a lie. They hadn't executed a woman for adultery in Israel in over 600 years. And they wasn't planning on stoning her. They were only trying to catch our Savior and try to get him to contradict what Moses said. You need to be careful who you talk to. You need to be careful who you're listening to. They may not always have your best spiritual interest in mind. Amen. Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground. Just hold up just for a little bit there. Amen. After a while, he raised up and said, he's without sin. Hey, any one of you guys, go outside and see if you can find your stone. Come back in, start throwing them. They left from the oldest to the youngest. This is the part the Holy Ghost impressed on me. He's so strong. When she finally got enough courage to open her eyes, maybe by now she's down on the floor. I don't know. I mean, she's been taken in the early morning, wee hours of the morning, man, in a very unbecoming situation, and a horrible tragedy is taking place in her life. But at that moment, she looks up, and to her amazement, she is staring into the eyes of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and she understood who it was, and even addressed him. Amen. And Jesus said, the King said to her, "Where are thine accusers?" And she said, "I have none, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn thee." Amen. Hear me right now. Jesus was not putting his approval on the act of adultery, but he did not condemn her to death. He did not condemn her to a horrible stoning. But other than that, he understood he had in his power to do for her what no one could do. Change her life. When the Shunammite woman cried to the king, her treasure was restored. When David's bitterness toward the banished was revealed by the woman of Tekoa, you remember that? Joab brought the woman of Tekoa in there to make a whole story up about someone that was banished, until David understood that she in reality was painting him a word picture and telling him it was him that needed to bring his son back to be restored. Oh God, help me to preach, Holy Ghost. I want to ask you something. Why, when that woman revealed to David what was in her heart by those words that had been put in her mouth by Joab, and the wise king finally turns to her and says, "Is the hand of Joab with you?" And she says, in other words, "You're a wise king. Why would anybody try to hide anything from you?" It's at that moment the king allows Absalom to come back. I know the Holy Ghost has got us arrested here. I can tell now. You're looking at me and listening to me. I want to ask you, why would you live in Jerusalem for 2 years? Why would you go to church for 10 years? Why would you bring your family and pay your tithes and do everything that's right and honest? Why would you do all of that and never go into the presence of the king? You lived 2 years, and all I could think about was church folks, people that I know, people that I've pastored, people that I've counseled with. They're so close. Oh, come on. I promise you, if y'all knew everything I knew right now, you'd be working with me, praying. And some of you hadn't even cracked a tear out of your eyeball yet. Come on now. Man, there's lives on the line. There's marriages on the line. Man, there's things that's happening in people's lives. Man, there are people right now that are needing healing. And unless God gives us a healing, man, we all know what the other options are. I tell you what we need, Bethany Holiness Church. We need to get in the presence of the King. We can't wait till the next revival. We can't even wait till fellowship meeting. We can't even wait till next week. We've got to get in the presence. You may not have a week. You may not have 2 months. You may not have. You got to get in the presence of the king. Absalom, don't wait any longer. You're living right here in the town. Your father's on the throne. Get in his presence. You go to church. Your wife's saved. Your husband's saved. Your children are saved. There's a hunger for people to draw closer to God. What do you want to do? You want to continue to stay where you are. You want to get in the presence of the king. You sit on the sidelines. You sit in the background. I promise you, I've seen this happen probably 1,000 times. Probably not an exaggeration. The minute you get in the background will be the minute you become critical. And the place you received help before, you can no longer.
God hasn't changed. The church hasn't changed. People hasn't changed. Boy, Brother James does so great with that this morning. That old number one man that lives between these elbows. And the only thing that can change me. Brother Hugh, I can't change you. I can't. There's things in my church that disturb me that I can't change. But I know if I can preach under the anointing and God can help me, I can get people in the presence of the King. Take me to the King. I don't know where we're going. You jerk me out of my house. At least give me time to cover myself up. And dump me in the front of scholarly men in the house, in the house of the Lord, and break the silence. And blurt out my charges of what I've been caught doing. But all of a sudden she realizes I'm in the presence of the King. Take me to the King. The widow's land's restored. Absalom has restored their relationship with his father. You know, Brother Jeff, really what done it? He was living there. Joab and all that conniving that him and Absalom done to get him to that place. And his heart wasn't right. I'm not talking now about spiritual. I'm just talking about a family being restored. When Absalom come in after that 2 years, there was still something about the heart of David, even though anger and pain was in his heart from his son Absalom, whom he loved, taking the life of his other son, whom he loved. But being a man after God's own heart, something brings that great man, Brother Ethan, off his throne. And he walks to that side. And kisses him. In that culture, in that time, that kiss from the King meant everything's good. It's all forgotten. It's all under the blood. I wonder what would happen today if God in His presence, His throne, would lean over and look at our church. Would y'all work with me as a church right now if He would look at our church? And just lean over. I wonder what kind of service we would have tonight. I wonder what kind of breakthrough we would have tonight. If He would just lean over and kiss us. Amen. And just let us know that He's forgiven us of all of our trespasses and our wrong motives and our wrong moves and everything we've ever done. We're tired, but we're out. A lot of people are playing church and we're going through the motions and we're living in the same place and we're in the same city, but we're not coming in contact with the King. There's two families that I felt specifically burdened for this week to pray for. I'm not trying to change. I'm not trying to change the way we do things. But I am trying to change what God is doing in my life. Because I am at a point, Brother Brian and Sister Kendra, I'm at a point with you at desperation. I don't know, you may not be there yet. Your faith may be strong. But I understand we need God. Brother John, Sister Heidi, I'm at that point of desperation with you. This is what I'm going to ask you to do. The elders of our church and those that are accustomed to helping us pray for the sick, I need you to work with me right now. I don't want to lose too much time here. Brother Jeff, would you mind to help me? Maybe stand right there. Brother Junior, you come stand right here. Right here at the end of this altar. Others, I don't want to leave anybody out. Brother James, come on, Brother James Hughes. Brother Bruce, y'all, the older brethren that help us. Brother Hugh, come on out. I'm not trying to exclude anybody. I'll take as many as want to. I need 3 or 4 or 5 over here. 3 or 4 or 5 over here. Brother Jimmy, would you mind to step up here? Anybody else want to help us? Brother Dickie, we for sure need you. Pray over here. Brother John, would you and Sister Heidi take little David in your arms? Stand back there in that aisle right in front of Brother Frank Osborne, Sister Janie. Brother Brian, you and Sister Kendra and your precious family, stand right there at the end of that other aisle. Holy Ghost, help me. I need you.
I need you, Lord. What I'd like you, brethren, is just kind of stand. Make a line across that way, past the end of that altar. One of you here toward that front bench there. Brother Roger, would you come on up? Brother Frey, if you want to, you can help us stand right here. All we're going to do is pray. That's all. Now, these are two that I felt particularly burdened for, but I have a feeling there's another one or two that I am extremely burdened for, but I can't call you out. I can't. The Holy Ghost not giving me liberty to do that, but you know who you are. And you know what you need. I'm not trying to scare anybody. That didn't come across with a mean tint in my voice, did it? All I'm trying to do is get you in the presence of the King. Take me. Brother John, would your other boys, Luke, Tristan, all y'all get with your parents there. I'm doing my best. I'm doing the very best I can to create this atmosphere. Hey, you know what? God does such a wonderful work. He does such a wonderful thing in the life of Esther that He completely turned that around. And on that 13th, 14th, and 15th, because the 13th was the day the Jews were going to be killed. It was the 14th and 15th. Brother Keith, you need to come up here and stand. Help them pray. Usually help us pray for the sick. Others that want to, I'm not trying to exclude her, please. One of you. Brother Hugh, would you mind to move over here? Help them over here on this side. Your family's going to be over here. That to this day, the Jews still celebrate a holiday or a holy day commemorating the miracle from God called Purim. P-U-R-I-M. Or meaning Lot. That was the day the Lot was cast against the Jews. And it failed. Woo, somebody say it failed. I'll tell you what I want God to do here this morning. While you're in the presence of the King, that marriage that the devil's kind of already cast a lot to destroy, I want it to fail. That bad report that somebody got from the doctor, I want it to fail. Holy, holy. I said I want it to fail in Jesus' name. I want the lot cast against the people of God. All the bad things that's been prophesied against Bethany Holiness Church. I want him to fail in the name of Jesus. The enemy's already cast a lot. Let it fail, Jesus. You know what? I'm looking over this congregation. I see some teenagers with red faces and eyes with tears. Get in the presence of the King. Take me to the King. Take me to the King. I'm tired of playing. I'm tired of just going. I'm not tired of going to church, but I'm tired of just going to church for the sake of going to church. Man, I love church. The best times of my life have been in church. But I don't want to go to church just to be seeing you and hearing song. And I want God to get off His throne and kiss. I want God to move toward me. I want Him to show His affection toward me. I felt a check in the Spirit. I'm not trying to order God around telling Him what to do. God can sit right on His throne and blow me a kiss if He wants to. Just whatever He wants to do. Ecclesiastes said, let Him kiss me with the kisses of His mouth. I just want to be close enough to Him, Brother Clee, that He can. If you're living in the same town 2 years and you're not going around, you're probably not going to get what you need. If you're cold and indifferent and upset and aggravated and tired and wore out and feel like you're abused, all you need to do is get in the presence of the King. I'm going to tell these families what to do in a moment. When they do, I feel like what I was supposed to do previously, I'm going to ask others. I want you to leave these aisles open because I want the church to gather in here a little bit later. If
you can come down these side aisles, because I want to leave these two aisles open for others that I don't know. Maybe some I do know, and I just want them to act and respond on their own. I don't care if it's your business. I don't care if it's in your family. I don't care if it's with your children. I don't care if it's an illness. Whatever. If you feel like that your problem can be taken care of by being in the presence of the King, I want to leave these aisles open for you to be obedient to God this morning. In no way, Brother Brian or Brother John, am I trying to exalt myself or lift myself up as though I'm the King. I'm only, by the mercy of God, an under shepherd. That's all I am. But to encourage you and encourage you, just as an act of something that you can see and touch and make contact with. When they get ready to sing this song, I'm going to hold this. Really, this is a shepherd's crook. And I want you, Sister Heidi, and Brother John, and your family, your boys, Brother Brian, your family, to come here and grasp this shepherd's stick. Church, right now, would you agree with me in faith that when their faith connects and they touch, that the King of Kings is going to look to us right now? A disease we can't do anything about. Things we can't change. We have not the power. Sister Cherry, some point before this service is over, I want you to come. I need a church right now to stand and rise in faith. Sing that verse, sister. Brother Brian, Sister Kendra, Brother John, Sister Heidi, make your way slowly. Make your way slowly down these aisles.
Take me to the King. I don't have much to bring.
Church, right now, let your faith. Let your faith move by love. Let it move by love right now. Faith worketh by love. If you love these people and you love their children and you know they need a miracle.
Truth is, I'm tired. Options are few.
Reach out and get a hold of
it. I've tried to pray.
All of you, make room.
But where are you? Ooh. I'm all churched out.
Come on, brethren.
Hurt and abuse.
Lift your heart and your voice.
I can't face.
We're desperate. We're desperate. We're desperate.
To do. Truth is, I'm weak.
Take me to the King.
Strength to fight.
Woo!
I don't have no tears to cry.
You're standing in these pews right now. Would you worship?
But
would you worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords?
It refuses to die.
While somebody in their mind is trying to get in that place, in that chamber where the King is. Oh, the saints around ought to be saying, holy, holy, holy. Take me, take me.
I don't have much to breathe. My heart's torn in pieces.
Oh, I believe for healing right now. Right now, believe with me, healing for Chase. Believe with me right now for healing for David. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're doing the right thing, church. You're doing what I'm asking you to do. You're worshiping. You're getting your mind on Him. He's the one that can. I can't, but He can. I don't know how, but He does. I don't know what to say, but He knows what to do. Holy, holy, holy. If there's anybody else that wants to step out in these aisles by faith, you've got a heavy burden, a heavy load you're carrying. You don't know what you're going to do. You don't know how you're going
to
get through it. There's others standing right here that want to pray with you. Come on, we'll get this rod out to you.
We stop playing these.
Maybe you had it in your mind, if I can get to church today, while I'm in His presence, that the Holy Ghost will manifest. If others want to come down these side aisles and pray with us, and pray with the ones that are coming, we'll be happy for you. Man, God's doing something in this place this morning.
We're
desperate.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
And we're chasing
after
you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, Lord, I've made my decision. I'm going to run to you.
I'm not trying to be silly. I've never done anything like this before in my life. In my ministry that I remember. I just feel like this is how desperate we are. Come on, what about it? What about it? Don't be afraid. Don't be embarrassed. God, I've been seeking you. I've been waiting for an answer. I've been longing, Lord. I've been waiting for you to do something.
Leave me there.
Take me to the King.
Gaze upon your.
Oh, yes. Take me to the King. Some have already knelt around these altars. These altars are always open.
Truth,
and at this point, I'm opening it up. Anybody that wants to come forward, spend some time seeking God.
I've tried to pray,
maybe you've been staying on the outskirts,
Lord,
staying outside of reach, just kind of staying outside, just kind of keeping a little bit of distance. That's what Absalom done for 2 years. But really, the desire of his heart was to be in the presence of the King. This is your opportunity, my brother. My sister.
No.
Is there others? Go ahead and touch your sister. In Jesus' name.
There's no tears to cry.
In Jesus' name.
Even if I try.
But
still my soul, it refuses to die. Oh, one touch.
Holy, holy, holy.
One touch can change my life.
Take me to the King.
To the King.
Take me to the King. Take
I don't have much.
I don't have much to bring, Lord. I don't know what I'm going to offer you.
My heart's torn.
But if I can look up after all my cues.